Listening to Right Back Atcha, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by Turn the Lights Down Low and Kiss Him in the Dark, David Lim and me. I'm breathing in and I'm breathing out, darling. Joel Babington. Hello, David. How are you doing?
JB. It is brilliant. It is wonderful. What a summer we've had so far already. I know we just started, but I'm still on the high from our last episode. And also, as you guys may have noticed, we did a little collaboration episode with the boys of Glitter and Gold. So it does feel like things are moving. Things are busy for us.
It's been a busy summer of love so far, and we're only just getting started. But yeah, it's all go, 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 and that's how we like it. But yeah, it's fab. It's a bit warm this evening, but I think that suits where we're at today.
I think so. And also, we don't normally record this late in the day, but it's in the middle of the work week. We're both busy working girls, stranded on the Northern Line, respectively, which is why we were late getting home to do
not
this.
Not finding love on the Northern Line.
No, sadly not. Boy, I bet you're excited to get into this one. This feels like something the JB has wasted his whole life to do.
I said this is going up on the spreadsheet and it's a priority placement. This is an artist that would be like our other artists that we go in order. And don't worry, we're going to be going back and we're not skipping a bunch of albums because there's a lot of history to go through. But we are recording on the 10th anniversary of this album, and it's a monumentous occasion. So it didn't matter what time
monumentous
we were jumping on and we were recording. Monumentous, monumental, monumentai, darling.
Like, the Mariah of Essex.
The Mariah of Essex, the JB. I am breathing in and breathing out, darling. We go into recent history sometimes on this podcast,
but not like this.
We normally say, oh, I can remember it, I can taste it. But I literally can remember this and taste it 10 years ago. And it feels like 10 years has gone like that. But Devo, it's still a new album to me. I have my cushion here, my infamous Hilary Duff cushion.
Which everyone would have seen on socials by this point. Because every time there's a house party, the cushion gets a showing. It gets love. So
shows up and shows out.
Exactly. I must say, it's very rare for us to be talking about an album that was released in the time that I'm already living in the UK.
Wild.
So this is actually wild. And please forgive me if I got this wrong, or I feel like I should know, but were we living together at this point? Not quite. 2015. Summer.
Yeah, I know the year.
You know the Hillary release date, but you don't know your release date into our flat.
Yeah, exactly.
When did you debut in our flat?
I think it was maybe later this year.
It was
It was either the Halloween this year or the Halloween the year after.
Wow.
I moved in.
Wow. Okay.
When did Selena Gomez release Revival?
Okay, that's always a good marker of time for us. When was that?
That was, 9th of October 2015.
So it was this year that we met.
It was this year, but it was just a few months after.
So we met, I mean, in the season of Breathe In, Breathe Out, technically.
We were breathing in and breathing out, and we found each other, darling.
Oh my God, this is crazy. So, okay, this feels even more special now.
The movie musical of Breathe In, Breathe Out would end, the last scene would be me knocking on the door of the flat and you opening the door. Joel, credits.
Yep. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. No, that is a Thomas the Tank Engine theme song. I was going for EastEnders, but I just doom, 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 doom.
Absolutely. Right, Devo, before we get too carried away, do we have any lovely recent episode reviews or comments that we want to read out?
Yes, we do. Let me head to our Mighty Hoopla recap episode. By the way, thanks, guys, for all the love for that particular recap as well. As we said then, it's our first time doing it, and it seems that you guys like it, so we might continue doing it. This person left a comment, Christian, this episode, campus tits. The weekend was iconic. Make this a tradition, babes. And then another comment goes, every time I hear you guys, I just can't stop smiling. You are the best friends I wish I had.
Oh.
Oh, well, we are virtually over the airwaves.
Your virtual BFFs. Absolutely. And look, guys, I love that you guys are loving the ep. And, but I'm going to be dining out on, like, I'm so glad we've captured that episode so we can just relive Hoopla all summer long, all winter long. It's never winter when you got that Mighty Hoopla episode. But guys, if you are loving what we're doing, please leave us a lovely 5-star review. Hit subscribe. Follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Email a pop loving friend.
Email a pop loving friend. I mean, you can.
You can if you want. Email our hearts at Right Back Pod at gmail.com and tell a pop loving friend
by email. Yeah. You can tell we're tired after a busy work week, but we're locking in, darling, and I feel like the energy level is going to spike and peak up as soon as we get into it.
Oh yes, baby. All right, Devo, so we're going to 2014 with Miss Hilary Duff.
Yes,
another Anne as well.
Is she an Anne?
Yes.
Hilary Ann Duff? Or is there another?
Hilary Ann Erhard Duff.
Wow. This is really a thing in pop star life.
I know. I think we need to go to Depot and change our middle names.
I think you already have, because people on the streets are calling me David Ann.
My mum texts all the time, new episode, Jolie and David Ann.
So by popular demand, yes, I am David Ann already, thanks to the JB. But Joel, look, we are, of course, talking about Hilary Duff's fifth studio album today, Breathe In, Breathe Out, which is turning 10 this summer, this year. It's actually quite shocking when I looked at this, because I can't believe it was actually 8 years between her last album, Dignity, and this one. Now, I remember Dignity era quite well, because that came out around the time of me being at uni, and I was doing a work experience placement with the legendary Cameron Adams at the Herald Sun. And I believe Dignity was one of the albums I reviewed in my little internship moment there. So that era feels quite real and physical. I remember seeing the CD, but God, so much can happen in pop culture and in life in 8 years, can't it?
I mean, look, the Dignity era did have Dignity, the Dignity Tour, and then the Best of Hilary Duff. So it was prominent. But yeah, 8 years without a new studio album from Hilary. Oh my gosh.
And now we're on 10 years. Time. Yeah, and it was a real time where it was uncommon for Hilary to step off the machine a little, because she's been working since she was young, as you all know, from Lizzie McGuire, the Disney world there that she was in. She got into music pretty quickly, churned out the albums, did the tours. She was actually quite popular in Australia.
She was actually
an artist.
I was always jealous as a Hilary Duff stan in the UK, because she would always do world tours of US and Australia, touring arenas, and she only did one here in the UK.
Yeah. So the life of Hilary Duff and the presence felt very much in our public psyche in Australia. And then there was this long gap. And during this time, look, our Hill was acting, doing various projects, independent films.
Absolutely. Well, kicking off around this time, she was in the TV show Younger, the Darren Star TV show. And also in between Dignity And this, well, she had a prominent episode arc on Gossip Girl, but she also had her fictional book series, Elixir. Now, that was a trilogy, David. And let me tell you, I was reading those books cover to cover on the cruise ship.
Wow. I did not know she had a fiction series.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her and Rosie Frost.
The original Rosie Frost, you know. She had a prominent readership on the cruise ship, me.
Yeah. The Hilary Duff Book Club of One, yeah. Yes. Okay, I didn't know about the book.
Although wow. I did get a bunch of the other dancers on it. I'm like, you got to read this book. It's brilliant.
And they're like, we are stuck at sea with the JB. We better do as he says.
Banging on the cabin door. He's going to hunt us. Are you ready yet?
But I think it's, you know, around this time as well, she took some much needed time to just maybe slow down a little, even though she was doing all these other projects. She made time in her life just to live life. She got married. She had a kid. She said she remodeled her house. She got into interior decorating.
Probably did some papier-mâché.
Doing normal life stuff, learning how to cook. Because this girl has worked so hard all through her childhood, her teen years. She owes it to herself.
Absolutely. Once everything was in gear, it was just back-to-back album, tour, movie, album, tour, movie. And then, yeah, as you said, the machine stopped and she got to live life. Obviously, yeah, she was still booked and busy, but
yeah,
it's important to take that time.
Exactly. But it really wasn't long until word started to come out that Hillary was working on music again, and that was in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Now, throughout this period, she said she worked with writers like Ali Tamposi, who wrote Kelly Clarkson's Stronger, What Doesn't Kill You, and has also worked with 5 Seconds of Summer. And other people she was writing with include Matt Squire, who's worked with Kesha and Katy Perry, and Jason Evigan. Now, you're the big Hillary fan here, so you can fill in with more goss and knowledge of what was around this time. But it sounds like there was an album of kind of folky pop stuff that was scrapped, would you say?
I would say. So, Dave, I'm going to take it one step back. This album went on a real journey. It started its life as an EDM album. When she started dipping her toe back in music in 2012, between 2012 and 2015, we started life with an EDM album.
She then EDM first, not folk country. Wow.
EDM first, scrapped it all, moved into folk and country, into the first two singles that we'll talk about, and then a retweak again.
Back to dance pop.
Back to dance pop. But it lives in two worlds. You know, there is still the few country folk songs that have made it over. But it feels like they were like, right, what can we keep? What can have a dance rework? And then what can be new?
Exactly. So the body of work that we'll get into, and we're so looking forward to diving into this album, guys. Like, this is a fantastic album. Truly very solid. So we'll get into all that when we talk about the album. But I didn't realize that actually, yeah, she had a little EDM dabble. Did any of those songs leak?
No, which is such a shame. And Duff Stans, if you're out there and you've got the track, send me them. Because I remember in the interviews for around Chasing the Sun and All About You era, she'd be talking to bloggers. And, you know, obviously the gays that are in the know, they're like, oh, so it was EDM. And she's like, oh, yeah, I've got all this stuff. And they're like, leak it. And she's like, oh, maybe. And I remember as a time, as much as I love the singles we're going to talk about, being like, you know, Dignity, I think she left on such a high note.
Yeah, because that was starting to get a little bit more electro-pop, yeah. A little bit edgier.
And I just remember thinking, oh, yeah, please do leak it. So then when it had the retweak again into the album that we got, I was like,
we've come full circle.
Thank you. I was so, so happy. But the album that we didn't get, the country folk album, a lot of it has leaked. It was allegedly going to be called This Heart, and fans have compiled fan-made versions of what's leaked and everything. It's absolutely beautiful. So do spend some time YouTubing Hilary Duff This Heart. Let it play and have a great time. But I'm thankful that we have the album we got. I do hope maybe for the 15th or 20th anniversary, maybe she'll want to like do a limited final reissue of the album we never got, but we're here to celebrate this incredible album that we have got. So it's 10 years, landmark anniversary. As we're recording, Hillary has just posted a throwback carousel herself, reflecting on this time in her life and her career. It's hard to believe that Breathe In, Breathe Out is 10 years old today. Well, that time in my life has some bright spots, some blurry spots, and some uncomfortable pain. I look back with fondness and am now knowing that I ended up exactly where I needed to be. My photo roll from 2015 is truly LOL. The selfies PR team was strong and a sepia filter hated to see me coming. I think we can all relate to that. I had have the cutest son on planet Earth, and we really seemed to pack it in with adventure that year. Coolio nails were on the rise. I still had dubs. RIP, buddy. Not a day goes by that I don't miss you. I can't remember what season of Younger I was shooting, but that kept me bi-coastal and busy. Dub Smash was clearly the precursor to TikTok lip syncs, and hints that things were touch and go in my personal life were clearly displayed by my chop bobs and hair colour choices inspired by Crayola. While Breathe In, Breathe Out didn't have major success, there was still some work on the record that felt authentic. I see you all blaming yourselves on TikTok, not actually your fault, but really it was. Just kidding. But don't let it happen next time, okay? Breathe In, Breathe Out brought Matt into my world, and that's the real reason we have to love her. And lest we forget the infamous dance moves that continue to entertain you and make me die a little inside. If you are one of the five people who listen to Breathe In, Breathe Out, drop your favourite song below. Love you. There's just so, so much love for this album if you look at the comments, so hopefully she is feeling the love.
So, going back into the timeline of things that we were talking about, as we know, she scrapped those songs that she started working on and resumed sessions in 2013, all through to 2014, 2015. Now, by the time we get to 2014, in May, she'd confirmed that she was writing with Savan Kotecha, who has worked with so many pop A-listers like Ariana Grande, Our Girl Danny, and this is a name I was not expecting at all. Maybe I've blocked this from my memory. Ed Sheeran.
Oh, yeah.
A little up-and-coming star at the time.
I mean, he was quite big at the time.
He was already big, was he? Okay, yeah.
And I just remember being like, oh, no.
Oh, no, but not
today
Ed.
We're going to get the best thing he's ever done in his career. And also, what like a first-time mention on our podcast? Oh.
Of course it has to be connected with Hillary. Now, JB, do you think around these moments in 2014 was when Charlie XCX's Boom Clap...
It was
meant to have been pitched, because it feels like it would sit within this world, right?
It was. So, yeah, Boom Clap was written for and pitched to Hilary Duff. And then when Hilary was promoting this music, it was brought up to her and she was like, look, it was never played to me. So her team declined
just passed.
It.
Oh.
And she's like, I love that song. Can I have it now?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, actually, Hillary, if you ever do a set...
Obviously, don't lose any of the bangers for it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Joel's very specific about that, yeah.
It's an additional song as a gift.
So we finally, after this two-year journey with this album, behind the scenes, taking many twists and turns, in July 2014... Hilary Duff revealed that she has signed a deal with RCA Records.
Thank you, baby.
Now, this is major because our girly Hillary deserves to be on a major label. You know, we need that marketing support, the A&R support, the push, everything.
Yeah, this is a priority act. This is the woman that put Hollywood Records on the map for what it is, you know.
She is mother
she
of
is
the Disney
mother.
Crossover.
Yeah, exactly. So RCA was great to jump on that. And I mean, look, both Britney and Christina have ended up landing in RCA, I believe. So,
And I think Britney was around this time as well in the RCA fold already. So, Joel, this brings us to the very first fruit of the RCA partnership with Hilary Duff, the first single that they're releasing together. But I think spiritually, it's not the lead single.
No, it's not the lead single. We'll discuss the lead single when we get to the lead single. It's the first single.
So here we are.
Summer 2014, Chasing the Sun.
It's like the clock is always racing, but my time is not for wasting. Someone else can
So going into it, Hilary Duff was and team were undecided between Tattoo, the Ed Sheeran's collab, All About You and Chasing the Sun as her first single with RCA. They ended up choosing Chasing the Sun, which Hilary Duff described as top down, carefree, super catchy, singing along song. Now, I was very much in the headspace of like, you left me at Dignity. So I was ready to be picked up from Dignity. But there is a world where these early singles do pick up from, you know, the world of Hilary Duff album 1 and 2. Mm. Very Metamorphosis grown up, very Anywhere But Here grown up. I remember vividly, like it was yesterday, being announced Hilary Duff's back with a new single. And this gay club, Marquee, in New York, announced they were doing the launch party for the single. I remember the poster going up online. They spelled Hillary with 2 L's. Blasphemy. I remember it in real time being taken down and going back up again. And I'm, you know, really like broke in my early 20s at this point. And I'm like, how can I get to New York? I don't go to New York, listeners.
Yeah, is that how can I
manage expectations?
How do I reroute this cruise ship to Manhattan?
No, it's a few years over the cruise ship by then. You know, I'm living in London, just about to move in with you guys in a few months. But yeah, I just was chomping at the bit for it, mate. I was locked online, refreshing, you know, internet, Twitter feed, Instagram. Like, I need the information up to date. So what it ended up being was this club night, launching, premiering Hillary's new single, Chasing the Sun. It was drag queens on stage performing to her hits in the build up.
Love.
And then Hilary Duff comes out on stage, I think with Perez Hilton, which is, you know, fine.
Off the time.
And they announce the song, the new single, and then the DJ plays the Dave Ord remix of Chasing the Sun.
See, this is where you really built up this story, because in my mind I'm like, nowhere.
How's this gonna fit in a club?
How is it gonna, you know, you got drag queens going, you got vodka shots, you're not bringing some sort of Radio 2 mid-tempo with like banjos in the cups. Of course you need Uncle Dave Ordet to, you know, give it the, have a sniff of poppers.
Exactly. So all the audience, well, they'd already had a sniff. And then Hillary sort of like greeting fans at the front, taking selfies while it plays. So I remember at the time being really locked in and being like, oh, well, it's not the single. But then also, yeah, thank God it is a sort of pop as a clock remix. So that's how it was launched into the world.
For you, the remix, yeah.
And then a few days later, the song is released into the world. I'm chasing the sun. Written by Kobe Calais, Jason Reeves and Toby Gad. Gad also produced the track. Do you remember this at all in your time in London, getting this song, Devo?
Yeah, because I was very chronically online by this stage. So yes, I saw this go up and I thought, do you know what? Spiritually understand, it really taps into the nostalgia of how people, like you said, you know, people that loved the first Hilary Duff album, Metamorphosis, and the subsequent work, I think people in Australia would have probably embraced it. I was already living in the UK at the time. But yeah, I was a little bit underwhelmed, if I'm honest. Like, it's perfectly safe and plain, but not very memorable. It's not the kind of bang of a comeback I was expecting.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's one I've grown to love. And I think I can really love it now because we get the bangers a little bit later on. But this one, it was, I did have to force myself to love it at the time. I do really enjoy it now for what it is. It's a great one to sing along to, especially walking home tonight in a summer's evening. But yeah, considering we were left in a brilliant place, we were left in what I consider the US's answer to Rachel's Come and Get It.
Mm.
It was just, and this a bit feels like okay,
slightly a step backwards. One critic wrote at the time, if Duff is expecting to move forward in her career, she's going to have to stop looking back and make music with a little more edge. So yeah, other people were feeling that note as well.
And I do remember at the time, for both this and All About You, she was citing Mumford and Sons as inspiration.
Right.
And I'm like,
hun,
I don't want that.
Get back in the gay clubs. Spend more time with drag queens.
But, you know, which is really lovely. And, like, if that's what she wanted to do at the time, fantastic. And the material we did get is brilliant.
Yeah.
But I needed what was to come. But we still take what we get. And I definitely think I did let myself love the remixes a little bit more just because it was danceable. And as I said, the This Heart album, whether it's Family and How It Would Have Been, is beautiful as a alternative to the album we're going to get into. But it doesn't mean we didn't get a fantastic music video to go with it. So Hilary Duff shot a music video in Malibu in July 2014, which then debuted later that month. This video shows Hilary Duff as a frustrated office worker who dreams of being on the beach with a sexy man.
I love this. I love that she was really tapping into the fun hun escapism vibes, you know, and also let her flex her rom-com vibes.
Absolutely.
She's an actress.
I've always thought this music video has given you adult in her early teens, in an adult in her early 20s finding her way in the workplace, Lizzie McGuire, that like ditzy klutz but aspirational girly. She's allowed a hamster at her desk, question mark.
I looked at that, I was like, how come she's allowed pets
in the workplace? And I love of this time, it's a rite of passage in a 2010s music video, the EOS lip balm sponsor.
Oh, they were everywhere, those lip balms, weren't they?
How much money do you think they put towards that music video?
10 grand.
We'll take
it. It's a hearty gesture. Listen, do you know what watching this video back reminds me of? Natasha Bedingfield's Pocketful of Sunshine. Do you remember that video where it was like she's in this corporate office and then it's escapism, straps on a parachute, jumps out the window, take me away. So it's like that's Hillary just imagining herself on a beach with a sexy man. Get it, hun, get it.
Absolutely. So not a lot of promo for this, but she did do a little clip of it live on GMA a bit later in the year when she was performing and promoting All About You. But it made a splash with the music video, the club appearance, promoting in print media and interviews. It debuted Devo on the US Hot 100 at 79, making it her first entry on the Hot 100 since 2007, Stranger.
Wow. Okay, well done. I think that's a good result, considering the time away. And also, she's in the middle of filming and
She's in the middle of Younger, so she can't dedicate being pop star first and foremost. So I think that really shows the power of the name Hilary Duff.
Exactly. And I think obviously, you know, if you want to really establish your music career, the thing to do is like, you know, smaller gigs around the country. You do one of those obligatory Our Heart radio tours just to perform, just to corral the radio support. But she's got other commitments and she's got a kid, you know?
Absolutely. 72 in Australia, 59 in Canada, 197 in France, and 46 in Spain. Thank you, Spain.
Hola. Okay. Do you think it was like in some sort of like Jet 2 holiday ad?
Hola, you want to chase the sun?
Yeah. Actually, don't we laugh, but Spanish listeners, tell us if we're wrong. Maybe this was used in some sort of holiday or sunscreen advert. You never know.
Would have been genius and absolutely should have. But while we were still chasing the sun, Devo, that summer, Hillary kept on going. In less than a month, All About You came out in August 2014.
Yes. I was really surprised looking back how quickly it was. And, you know, in my mind as well, at the time, it did seem that those two singles were close together. And then we got a period of silence. But yeah, they're both very entwined together. Maybe there was just a break in the schedule where she could promote. So it's like, yeah, let's go for it. And boy, did she go for it with this particular single release, yeah. Right?
We'll do a 1-2 punch. And I do think this was the right single to do a bit of a further push and promotion with.
Because this is a stronger of the two of them, in my opinion.
And we're inching a little bit closer to the dance floor, just slightly.
Just slightly.
Slightly.
Exactly. So All About You was written by Al Hill with Christian London, Savan Kotecha, who we mentioned before, and Carl Falk. Incredible pop pedigree here. I think what I really like about this song, listening back, is that it really does give me a strong sense of nostalgia. We're always nostalgic for the noughties, obviously, so we know 2000s music DNA, but this really made me sit up and realize, oh God, now that we've got 10 years difference between us, that was such a sound of that time.
Yeah.
It was a kind of mix of, okay, we got a bit of Taylor Swift that's popular, so let's get a bit of banjos in there, but also like rhythmic R&B pop was also popular. So let's get some, you know, trap beats in there and different kind of rhythms and hand claps and cheers. It was a melting pot of influences in the best way possible.
And if you're going to do it, you got to do it with a pop culture icon touchstone like Hilary Duff, you know. And I think what a great way for her to come back in. Do you think this would have been a stronger first release than Chasing the Sun?
Yes. I don't know why they went with Chasing the Sun, because it really felt too safe. But this tickles my ears a little bit more. I love the music video as well. She's giving you a little bit of choreo. This song does not require choreo, but she wants to show you something.
You're going to give it to us. So this music video, I was actually a little bit disappointed. I think this music video is amazing. Disappointed in a joking way, guys. It opens with Hilary Duff not so secretly taking a picture of a guy. Now, Hilary,
that's not allowed.
We've all done a little discreet picky. I don't condone it. I do not condone it. She wasn't even subtle about it. She got that phone right out. Obviously, we've got to show the Amazon product placement. Respect it. She's just like, that guy would have seen a million miles away you were taking a picture of him. She didn't even, like,
do it stealthily, no.
No.
She had no shame whatsoever.
Naughty.
And we all saw it. We all saw it.
So she took a picture of this guy in a restaurant or coffee shop. Then he drops a vinyl, which she picks up. She's straight to dance rehearsals, where she's having a great time with her and her dancers. We're getting some cutaway shots of her singing to camera in the rehearsal room, looking glam, looking fab, but still rustic.
That very natural kind of Tumblr core filter, yeah, that's across this whole coloration of the video. And that natural tussled hair that, you know, a little spritz of sea salt in there, you know, just to zhuzh it up a little, give it a... Exactly.
Natural, but took absolute... Natural and effortless took hours. So she's showing her guy, her friends, her dancers, this picture of this guy that she took. What this needed, because it was her and her female dancers, it needed one politically correct, sassy, gay dancer, the dance captain and choreographer. Hilary, would you like it if someone was taking pictures of you?
Are you writing a role for yourself retrospectively, yes, in this video?
Yes.
The Essex dance captain in the middle of this LA dance studio with the girlies. Yeah.
So what they decide to do is they pick up this vinyl and they decide to drive around and find him. Going up to people, do you know who would have this record?
Literally, if this was About Us, it would be like a Rachel Stevens CD, yeah, that was dropped. They'd be like, do you know a gay man who could have... They'll be like, I know exactly two gay men in South London. It's one of the two that would have dropped this CD. But actually, now that you're describing this plot, JB, do you think this kind of traveling prop thing is a little bit of a nod to the So Yesterday video where they had the t-shirt?
Oh, yeah, kind of. Look at you. Real duffster there.
Yeah. Or am I, is this a stretch? Because I just think about the visual of the t-shirt, her taking photos of it on different people. It's like a prop that's on a journey.
It's a spiritual older cousin, 100%. While they don't find him at this point, they get an invite to a party. Why not? So then they go to the party. It looks like, if it isn't, I think it is, the Thunder Road scene from Grease, and then where Cheryl goes on to film a music video. Maybe the Under the Sun music video, is that the one?
Oh, you mean Al Cheryl? I was like, is this the character from Grease? I was like, oh.
No.
You mean Sheza, as in Newcastle's Finest?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Well, everyone, that's your homework. Go look that up and let us know your thoughts.
They have a party there, big party, why not? And then she meets the guy at the end.
I love music videos with a bit of a plot.
Yeah.
Bring back music videos with a love story, story arc, a journey, as they would say on The X Factor.
Well, speaking of X Factor, David. Oh,
yes. This was
you chose the wrong time to move to the UK. Hillary and team thought, let's go. Now is the time for the Aussie push. You are the special guest performer on X Factor Australia.
Absolutely iconic. Our Hillary Duff performing this single in front of Danny Minogue, who's the judge then at the time, Red Foo, Ronan Keating, Nat Bass from Rogue Trader / Neighbours. Absolutely iconic. And that opening shot of Hillary there with four dancers on stage, it was giving girl group, you know. Yeah, and then it goes into the performance. The band is going, the dancers are there.
Yeah,
she's giving a little swish.
The dancers, we got the little hanky choreo going on.
That was my favorite bit. Towards the end, when they kind of whip the hanky from the back pockets of the girl in front of them and just toss it up in the air. Cheeky.
Vocals live. Audience is screaming. Absolutely brilliant. And she made it worth her while. She also performed on Sunrise.
Excellent booking. And she appeared on the evening TV show that everyone should appear on if you take promo seriously in Australia, which is Channel 10's The Project. So Rover McManus was a host then. I don't know if he still is now, but anyway, love that she went on his late night show. The only thing I found a little bit cringe was that they used Miley Cyrus in the montage of introducing Hillary as a sort of, oh, you know, Miley's gone down this racier route, but before Miley, there was Hillary Duff, who was doing it all and doing it in a really big way. So it's kind of like, oh, do you need to wedge someone else's career in there?
We absolutely do not.
It just felt a little cheap, but I get it. I get what they were trying to do, you know, just to kind of create that sort of synergy and a bit of a shock.
Absolutely. But yeah, live in all these places, absolutely brilliant. Do you think they thought, well, look, she had a really big market in Australia. Let's go and give a push there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it worked because it was such a nice reminder to everyone that, you know, Hillary was a big figure of the 2000s, and also gave her this interview on The Project, also gave her the opportunity to bring up Sophie Monk, which is a nice little connection. I think they're friends, or like they know of each other because of their partners.
I feel like Sophie's friends with so many people in LA.
Yeah, the people's princess.
Yeah, she must just be, well, I think it's probably because she only just makes everyone laugh. She's so funny.
Yeah, very endearing. So Hillary was telling this story of Sophie the last time they ran into each other. It was literally in the middle of traffic. Hillary's car got hit by the car behind her, and that driver was trying to drive off without apologizing or, you know, swapping details. And guess who cuts that driver off? Sophie motherfucking Monk.
She was like, I need somebody. Cut him off.
Sophie cuts him off, literally jumps out of the car, tells Hillary, who obviously she doesn't know was Hillary, being like, get the driver's license details, get the details. They're trying to get away with it. And Hillary's there like, wait, hi, Sophie. Okay, we'll catch up properly in a sec. Yes, I've got the details, but Sophie?
Wow, Sophie Monk, the people's
princess.
And
she called her guardian angel. So there you go.
That's so lovely. So great to have those like territorial specific stories, isn't it?
Yeah.
But not just going big in Australia, in Hillary's homeland, the US as well, going big with it, performing it on Good Morning America, where the interview segment, they say, Hillary, will you be doing concerts? She says, of course, maybe February.
Oh, Hill leaking.
Leaking, but it didn't happen.
I feel like, yeah, in research for this, we got so many tidbits and timelines because Hillary was so open.
Yeah, absolutely. Even around this time, I can't remember if it was for Breathe In, Breathe Out or at this time, music website for Hillary, and you had to register where you were in the world and if you wanted Hillary to come and tour there.
Oh, really?
So they were doing kind of, they were planning like where's a, which seems is savvy, I think, where is the demand for Hillary to come and tour?
Sure. And you logged on.
I logged on. And
yeah. Come to the UK, please.
Yeah.
But you know what? Pop stars of this time, talk about, you know, these days the kids love a bit of mystery. Pop stars back then, they tell you the whole promo campaign, you know, not even confidentially. They tell you the 6-month plan and it doesn't come to be, you know. People love to overshare at this time.
Yeah, absolutely. They do. And she also performed on Live with Kelly and Michael. Again, live vocals, live band, absolutely slaying it. So here, there and everywhere, I was always tapped in, but yeah, this one definitely pricked up my ears a little bit more than All About You.
No UK visit, no Lorraine, no Loose Women.
No, not interested. We're a bit funny here in the UK, a bit too, I don't know. But the big Aussie push paid off, David, peaked at 20 on the ARIA charts.
A top 20 hit, this song, wow. Absolutely. Don't remember hearing it anywhere on the radios, but love that TV push.
Australia.
He's just chatting shit.
So yeah.
That's the reason why I didn't hear it. Yeah.
It debuted at 21 and then peaked at 20. So it made Hillary's Aussie first top 20 hit in 9 years, the last being one of my faves, Beat of My Heart. It was certified gold in Australia, so thank you for that, Devo, even though you're in London. Canada 91, Czech Republic 60, 27 in Mexico, 69 in Slovakia. US peaked on the US bubbling under at 19 and 38 on the US Billboard Airplay. So this time, Devo, the album was allegedly going to be coming out in October, so that would have been this folk country album, what fans were dubbing called This Heart.
Do you think that the label saw that it didn't crack the Hot 100 and got a little bit worried, because the last single did?
Yeah,
and this one had even more of a push. This one had telly.
I think there was a, okay, let's see what's going on here, because they saw there was going to be the gap in early of the year for Hillary to go out and do live gigs and stuff. But okay, I think they kind of thought there was going to be easy success here. And if things haven't happened the way they are, let's maybe do a retour and then we'll push it out later when there's some availability.
Exactly. So which is why the tour didn't start when she said it would, because the album ended up going on another journey, another twist for the better, we say, because we love the final product. So, you know, swings and roundabouts, it didn't kick off with these first two singles. And we can say thankfully, because of that, we got a little pause, a little shuffling of the decks.
Absolutely. So while we didn't get a tour, Hillary went to Sweden and got some bangers.
Oh, that is worthwhile.
So, David, let's move forward to April 2015, where 10 years ago, April 7th, day before my birthday, Hilary Duff gave me the best birthday present I could ever dream of by launching Sparks. You effing mental.
Now this
mate.
Is more like it. This is
like where you pick up from Dignity.
Yep.
8 years on. Poppers are out. We're going to have a great time. I was, when this song came out, David, one of those really rare miracle temping gigs where you just sit there all day and do nothing and hardly anyone bothers you. And I found this song on YouTube. Officially released, Hilary Duff's YouTube channel. And I was just like, my mind was blown. I was just sat there all day, refreshing, blasting this song out.
Run like, up the views, yes.
Bopping along, like, pure euphoria.
This song gets you from the very first intro with the whistling. You know, that is so addictive, so signature. And... you know, I wonder if even at this time, the brief was like, yeah, let's go for something wistful, you know, maybe something a little bit country light that we could translate into the dance world, which is why we have a bit of whistling. I don't know. But she worked with some absolute top tier people. Our fave, one of our faves, Christian Carlson, aka Bloodshy from Bloodshy and Avant, who is responsible for Britney's Toxic. So many banging hits, Christina Milian, AM to PM, Songs of Vitamin C, Miss Dynamite bangers, Rachel Stevens, Sweet Dreams, My LAX.
Wow.
So thank you, Uncle Christian. And Tuvalu. Can you imagine actual Tuvalu writing credit on this song?
I can.
That's why it's so fucking good.
I can. I remember when this album came out, I was telling our friend Bryn about how amazing this album is. And then
and this
like,
is hit songwriter Bryn Christopher.
And he's like, all right, let me look. So he's looking at the songwriting credits and he's like, oh, wow. Oh, I know them. I've worked with them. He was like, Tuvalu, I could just text her now saying my friend's obsessed with this album. I was like, go on then. He was like, no, well, I'm not going to. I'm like, put your money where your mouth is, darling. Text her. No text was ever sent, listeners.
I mean, this was probably in the kind of magical meandering period of her songwriting where maybe Girls Aloud something new was created. Because she was in those writing, you know, she had a writing credit on that as well. And stuff for the Saturdays. I think she wrote the last Saturday song, right? She had a writing credit on What Are You Waiting For?
Get It Girl.
Fun so, pop yeah. project for our Tuve.
This had quite a strategic campaign. Hilary released a sneak peek of the song on her Twitter page and then a 1 minute long sneak peek of Younger, the TV show, was released, which had a bit of this song in it. And if you Shazammed the song, you got to unlock the single cover.
Oh, this was a different marketing strategy by this point.
Yeah.
Love to see that work. But yeah, I think it's so interesting looking back at this time period because we don't get to talk about the 2010s very much on Rap Back At You. Maybe we'll do it more in the future because it's really unlocking very specific and very different memories. You know, now on our show, we're talking about Shazam. Whereas before it was wow. SMTV, yeah. CD UK. Now we got Shazam, bitch.
Welcome yeah. to the future.
Welcome to the future.
Welcome to the bloody future,
we're
mate.
We're unlocking full bloody songs.
Devo, do you remember like first hearing this song and it coming out?
I think I got it with the video as well because the visuals were 100% the first way I received this. I remember being so shook that Hillary's got this tinted, kind of faded blue-gray hair.
Oh, yeah, mermaid blue hair.
Trendy,
now, look,
so trendy.
I love having a shaved head. Only time I've ever had hair envy and wished I still had hair was when Hilary Duff was rocking the blue and I was like, I'm obsessed.
I'm obsessed. Get me that Pixie Lott hair chalk.
Yeah, get me a blonde wig and hair chalk and I'll get it on.
But of course, we can't ignore the fact that the product placement for Tinder was quite heavy and excessive to the point where she ended up doing a fan-demanded version
Thank
of the
God.
Video.
I was front and center of that fan demanding.
It scaled back on the product placement a little bit because it was getting awkward. It's like
more
we
than
just
a little
wanna,
bit, Davo.
Yeah, it's like we just want to watch the video without being, you know, hammered with a Tinder ad.
Absolutely. So the original video was released, currently at 15 million views on YouTube, directed by Hannah Lou Davis. Is the music video intercut with Hillary in interviews revealing she's on Tinder, hanging out with her friends, looking on Tinder, and then going on dates? It's fun. And you can tell that it's a collab that on paper in a meeting room, everyone thought was a great idea. But as fans, we just want Hillary in this great music video, in this 11 out of 10 banger.
Yeah.
And it's just like they're edging you, to be honest. They're teasing you. Like, you're getting a bit of the music video and then you're going off to this other stuff. Like, the song disappears and music video disappears almost completely for these scenes to play out at times. It's like, this can't play on a music channel. We can't put this on in a white wine music video night, you know?
Yeah, it's too much. So thankfully, within like 2 weeks, they put out a different cut of it, because I'm sure the feedback was given to her that, listen, honey, we're not playing you on MTV or whatever music channel stations are still left at this time.
And we now have the fan-demanded version. 56 million views,
That's
David.
That's more like it.
Hillary giving you full performance, different looks, different poses, routine. This is making me nostalgic for the 2010s. And for the first time ever, I'm saying, take me back to the 2010s now.
So, JB, is this the video you imagined for Sparks? If you weren't fed this, what would have been your concept for it?
I do think the fan-demanded version, I love it. Like, I am so happy with it. I think it all looks amazing and the lighting is incredible. But maybe like a club music video, just like a sensual, like, turn the lights down low and kiss me in the dark. Maybe it's like their eyes lock.
Yeah.
Their eyes lock and then it's instantly cutting between them in the club and them in the bedroom. Like, ooh, you're like in, you're already like seeing it and the attraction's there. You lock and like it's just in sync, what's happening in the club and them in the bedroom.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think that would have been a direction I went in as well. It's like, let's just make something a little bit more eye-catching, you know, a little, not clickbaity, but it's Hillary's comeback single. I know it's been 6 months or 9 months since the last one, but let's give them something to talk about. Come on, then.
Come on, then. Look, this is the lead single off the album. So let's go for it and go for it, you know?
Yeah, but do you know what? All things considered, I feel like Hillary is the girl next door, the relatable woman. She's not going to do something that feels jarring or just sensationalist for the sake of it.
No, I mean, she touched on it with Reach Out.
Yeah, but she was, you know, in a rebellious stage of her career then. She was
edgy.
She's had a she had a string of singles and albums with Hollywood Records. She was ready to do her own thing and rebel a bit. But, you know, at this point, she's a mom.
She's a mom.
Not that, you know, you can't be sexy, but I'm just saying, like, I think she's more concerned with just keeping it real and not doing something for the sake of a headline. You know, Hillary's not going to put herself in that position, I don't feel, and be inauthentic.
No. And I think these more like curated, great lighting, fashion-y looks are better to say, this is our relatable but aspirational Hillary Duff that we know and love.
And even just visually, it said enough, because it was already a million miles away from the boho chic of the last two singles that we had the summer before. Now we're going in the clubs, fluoro, you know, it's kind of Miss Topshop.
It's definitely more pop. I mean, look, when me and Alex started going out, this was obviously one of the first things I did was like play him this music video.
Yeah, Stevie's a keeper.
Several times, exactly. And he is a keeper because he was like, do you know what? She's like the lost US Minogue sister. And I was like, wow.
You say all the right things, Alex. Shantae, you stay.
So she had some huge... big placement and performances for this song. It was first performed on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. There she's recreating the music video with the blue background.
Oh, yes.
Giving us a fab live vocal, her and her dancers performing. Then a few days later, May 16th, 2015, she performed at the Kiss concert where she performed Sparks, All About You, and a little electro update of Come Clean.
Oh, not the greatest hits version, you don't think?
It felt slightly more 2015.
Yeah, had not a Steve Anderson touch. Yeah. Speaking of her being the US Minogue.
Yeah.
God, actually, Hilary Duff and Steve Anderson. That's
come on.
That's a link up we need, yeah.
That's me in a meeting when, like, it needs no more discussion. Yeah, come on, we do it. Move on. Why has that not happened 10 minutes ago? That's what I'm like. and then when we get into promo cycle, Davo, she's on Good Morning America to promote the album. And she gives us this amazing performance of Sparks. You can tell it's just a bit more comfortable in her body now during the routine. The hair's looking amazing. It's big and wavy. She is slick. She is confident. She's got a big new album to promote. And we are ready for Hilary Duff, as we know and love her, pop star in your homes, celebrating this release. We also get a little bit of confetti as well. Performed.
Oh, love that. Yes.
But yeah, I just can't emphasize enough how much of an exciting time this was to be a Hilary Duff fan. Because especially any time for us as pop fans, when it was really current for the time, it didn't sound dated at all. But it's so exciting when any of our favorite girlies or a new favorite girlie just releases like unashamedly in your face pop. And this was that.
Absolutely, yeah. So Sparks is the tentpole moment, the kind of spotlight moment of this album. I was kind of hoping for more singles, or at least a single on release with the album, because the album doesn't come out till June. Yeah. So she's doing all this in April, which is great to get people talking, get people excited. Oh, look at Hillary's new look, new sound. And then I was like, okay, should we have another single with the album then? And we didn't. Curious choice, right? Or do you think in the US the song was kind of moving? Because, you know, in the US things are a little bit different.
Yeah, I think
it takes a while
US,
for a song to heat up.
Yeah. It's like, we'll do this for, what have we got? April, May. Like, do it for like two solid months.
Just keep pushing Sparks. Keep pushing Sparks until the album comes out in June. Yeah.
All right. Shall we get to the album, David?
Listen, guys, you know us. We're big pop fans. And this album is genuinely so enjoyable. And it's just, thank you for suggesting this episode because it's really reminded me of how much I enjoyed it at the time. And the three standouts for me then are still the three standouts for me now. But now I've got new ones that I'm really appreciating in 2025 years. So I cannot wait to get into this body of work with you, JB. But before we get into it, shall we give a shout out to the writers, the producers that are involved in Breathe In, Breathe Out, Hilary Duff's fifth studio album. Firstly, got to give a shout out to the A&R because I think this is an immaculately A&R'd album.
It was such a cohesive album.
It's quality. That's what it is. You know, the first couple of tracks on the album, especially, no fucking skips. So the A&R was overseen by Ronnie Hancock at RCA. Now, Ronnie, in her reign, signed Miley Cyrus.
Wow.
Signed Kesha, Becky G, and also worked on Britney's album. Wow. So I trust her with my life. You know? Once I connected all the projects and all the artists, and I was like, that's why this album is so fucking good.
You've earned your diva shit.
Yes, Ronnie, you've earned your motherfucking diva
shit. Because this album, without getting... this is like an ear to the ground of who's hot and up and coming in pop. Like, they're already here, but they're like... because in the next few years, a lot of these people were just
pop
like,
off.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was kind of on the cusp and maybe too ahead of its time for America, but not for Miss Rani.
No.
Uh-uh. So really great call to get Hill on that plane to Sweden in early 2015. Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, Hillary, get your passport. You are going to Sweden now.
Get some bangers, because that was so worthwhile and it kind of formed a strong backbone for Breathe In, Breathe Out. So we got Tuve Lo, as we mentioned, Bloodshy, but also Ilya, who's worked with Ariana Grande, Savan Kotecha, Matt Coma, who is Hillary's husband, but also a really great songwriter and vocalist in his own right.
And I think this is how they met.
Oh, really?
He's her second husband.
Oh, okay. Get it, Matt. Yeah, I looked on my iTunes library and yeah, I've got a Matthew Coma song on there. Great vocalist. Ed Sheeran's on it. Ian Kirkpatrick, who would later go to do Dua Lipa's Don't Start Now.
Wow.
Toby Gad, as you mentioned, who did Beyonce's If I Were a Boy. Cara DuGuardi is also involved in there somewhere.
Yeah.
The iconic album cover that you see.
Oh, it's beautiful.
You know, which is also the Sparks artwork and album. The black and white shot.
Well, it's not the same. It's similar. It's in the same
world. Yeah. Same treatment. That is done by a portrait photographer called Magdalena Wozinska, who actually, interestingly, her work is very kind of natural reportage style portraits. Things that look like they would be in the Observer magazine. She's worked with Foo Fighters, but I feel like this work is like really different from her other stuff. You know, it's still giving you the really striking portrait, but the treatment of it, the white and black, just gives it something artier.
So it is incredible. It's arty. It's gorgeous. Frame it. Put it on a cushion. It's clever because she was flipping between blue and blonde hair at this time.
Keep it neutral.
So where it's black and white, you think, oh, that's blonde Hilary Duff as we know and love her. But her hair could have been blue when they took that.
Exactly, yeah. So it gives it kind of a more classic, timeless look. And come to think of it, we've never had an artwork like this for Hilary Duff. So I think the art direction veers closer to something that Kylie would do. Again, speaking of the US Minogue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely love the cover art where she's looking straight at the camera.
Yeah.
Sexy, gorgeous, clean face.
So yeah. Beautiful.
So beautiful.
And then you've got the little red heart tattoo as well, which I think is alluding to the Ed Sheeran song. This album, Hilary Duff's fifth album, was very first teased on the final episode of TRL in November 2008, where Hillary at that time said she was going to begin work on her fifth album in 2 weeks. And then obviously that didn't happen. She had a long hiatus. But here we are. We've gone from EDM to folk and back to dance again. Thank God. You know, we had an October 2014 release date. That got changed for the better, in my opinion, but still glad that the other material's out there. Let's get into this incredible album. Let's kick things off with My Kind. I'm with you for the night. You're taking me high. You're loving me right. Think you're one of my kind, you're one of my kind. And so for now, don't want you to This is such a strong track too for the album, because immediately you're greeted with something that's already strong single contender. That's what I love about getting into a pop album. You know, you never want to feel that you do track one, which is a big single. You never want the second track to be like something that dips or, you know, veers away too much. The party continues.
You have to show the potential. And I think My Kind really shows it. This, to me, is a song that is totally a product of its time in the best possible way. You know, you've got the wistful guitar riffs, which sounds like something you might hear on a Chainsmokers song of the time, or like a Major Lazer, DJ Snake, you know, lean on that kind of production with like a Scandipop vocalist on it. I think this could have been a single. You know, you've got the light reggaeton kind of beats, the euphoric synths. It is giving a global melting pot of musical influences. And that's the kind of stuff that was working on the US Billboard charts. So you can tell strategically, they had their eyes on the charts for this one.
You know, a lot, if not most of this album could be singles, but those first four run of tracks especially,
we needed to have seen performances of them. They should have teased it in the way that Christina Aguilera with Bionic was giving you so many flavors of the album. I think they should have done this with, and not put all your eggs in a basket with Sparks.
Hillary did give us an official music video for this. It's on her YouTube channel. It's on her Spotify now when you press on My Kind. It's just a mashup of behind the scenes, dance rehearsals, that kind of thing. And also, if Sparks is about finding someone, the next single, the sequel, could be moving on, telling them, I'm one in a million, darling.
Oh.
You've been dating for a few months. They've fucked you off in one way or another. You've lost your self-confidence a little bit. And then you have that reminder, hang on a minute, I'm one in a million. Now, to me, I think this, in the re-listening, and I'm listening to this album all the time, but this, I think, would have been such a good follow-up single to Sparks, because
yes,
My Kind and Confetti, amazing as they are, incredible as they are, can blur into Sparks, whereas One in a Million is that, it's not crying at the disco, but it's kind of crying at the disco.
Thank you for reminding me how much I love this song, because this song has been on repeat all week. I love the lyrical sentiment of this song, because it's kind of describing that moment in a relationship where no one has done anything wrong. No one has cheated. There's not been a crisis, but you just feel overlooked, underappreciated.
Yeah.
That's a great lyric in the song. It's like, it hurts me more when you don't realize what you've got.
Like, this song is 100% about a relationship, but I think we, and for a relationship or not, this is the empowerment anthem that we need in our, especially in our 20s, but in our 30s, in our 40s and beyond, to remind you, you are that fucking bitch, because life in London, life in any city, life in anywhere where you're in the world, it grinds you down and you get caught up in it. And then you, when you're caught up in that, you get down about yourself and you forget who you are. And sometimes you just need to remember you are one in a million. As I always like to say, you are the Beyonce of your own life. Or, you know, to my version would be, you are the Hilary Duff of your own life.
Yeah. And it's you just are a young that diva.
You strut around, I am one in a million.
Shout out to Tuve Lo, shout out to Ilya and everyone involved in this song, because you delivered a smash, honey.
Honey, congratulations. All right, pop that confetti, because it's time for some fun on the dance floor. We've never left the dance floor.
If I fall, you better catch me. You're turning me into confetti. It's done by her hubby, Matthew Comer, and Matthew also is a co-producer on the song, so absolutely banging.
No, if I fall, you better catch me. You're turning me into confetti. I can't sleep, my head is heady. You're turning me into confetti.
It's that fun party anthem. Like, I think this would have been a perfect single 3. Or also, like, how she did give us that tiny, tiny mini performance of it on GMA. Like, it's that great album track to be performing, getting out.
Yeah,
and
about. At the end of the thing when all the confetti's coming down. Yeah,
it's a perfect like closer for a set as well before the encore. But shall we stick with Hubby and Hill and Dan Brook for Breathe In, Breathe Out? Now, I remember when this album was released on the forums, people were thinking, is this a cover of the Rachel Stevens track?
Joel, I think only you thought of that.
I didn't even maybe originally think of that.
I think you and like maybe two other fans thought that.
I'm only telling you what people said on the message boards, David. No need to drag me like that.
I remember what I wore on our first date. I remember how you felt against my face. I remember all the songs we used to hate. I remember we were sleepless in New York. I remember how my avenues were yours. I remember when they weren't anymore.
This is another emotive dance pop moment. The chorus goes, I made a top 10 list of all the things I missed. Your lying eyes and lips, they didn't make it. And I also love the bridge of this song where, you know, she's repeatedly go, X marks the spot where we left our hearts and X marks the spot where we fell apart.
So Hillary saying the title Breathe In, Breathe Out really stuck with her throughout the recording process of the album. She said that over the past few years in my life, it's just been something that really helped me. Just taking a deep breath in and letting a deep breath out. It can be a good thing. It can be a struggle. It can be a power thing. It's just a good reminder for everyone to remember to do that. It's a relief. It is, because we get so caught up as well in life, and it's just remembering to breathe in, breathe out. And then a good follow-up from this is Lies.
JB, this is a new favourite of mine.
There are so many anthems on here, or very anthemic songs, whether you're in a good mood or a bad mood, whether you're pissed off with someone or whether you're really into someone. There are songs here where you'll just be like, that's so me.
I'm done with your lies, la 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 lies. Yeah. Could have been a Hilary Duff Clean Bandit moment.
Where the hell was it?
Yeah. Could see this as a collab with a dance artist like a Clean Bandit or something. Yeah.
But if we're speaking about, if I'm saying, you know, Hilary Duff's pop music is its best when it's like great pop music with a strong, catchy narrative. The next track, Arms Around a Memory. I just, then and now, I love the audio visual of that. You can't wrap your arms around a memory. And when I used to work at Beano, we had this huge panda teddy bear in reception. And I took a picture of it, hung it around, like, hugging me. And then I turned it into a cheesy meme, like Hilary Duff, can't put your arms around a memory. So we have to talk about it. The Ed Sheeran co-write Tattoo. Now, this was probably for me at a time, maybe more of a skip, purely because it isn't, you know, right up my street or a bit of the JB. But in re-listening, it is an absolutely beautiful track, and I will give it to him. You know, one of the best, obviously one of the best things he's ever done, getting to work with the Hilary Duff.
Under my skin, running in my bloodstream. These scars are the way that you love me.
I think it's good that they didn't, but I do wonder if, why not for Chasing the Sun or All About You, go big or go home and push out that you've got the Ed Sheeran co-write and see what happens with it. I'm kind of glad they didn't, because it means we then got the dance album.
Do you think Tattoo would have been a big runaway hit single if she led with it?
It could have been.
Yeah.
Because it's very, I think you do then go, oh, that's grown up Hilary Duff.
Yeah.
Of a continuation of the first two, because Chasing the Sun especially is still very frothy. But this is like, oh, okay, this is more emotional Hilary Duff grown up. So while she gave us a somewhat official video for My Kind, she also released a acoustic performance of Tattoo on her YouTube channel, where it's her sitting on a porch with a guy playing guitar and Hilary singing us a beautiful acoustic version of the track.
No Ed Sheeran cameo, sadly.
Not needed.
Because that would have pushed the views.
it would have, but she don't need it. How many Teen Choice Awards does he have? We then, on the Fanjoy edition, the Japanese edition, and now finally on streaming since 2022, Outlaw.
This is one of the most out there songs on the album, and I can see why it's a bonus track because it doesn't really click with the other songs, but I actually love that.
It kind of
sounds like a Little Mix album track, and I love that for that, you know?
Yeah, I can absolutely hear that.
So pour me some JB and light them up like 1, 2, 3. I'm young and drunk and free. Hey, Mr. Dance with me.
Now, this was actually one of the first tastes of the album people got. It was first used in the 9th episode of Younger, and then was later officially released as part of the album. And then bonus track, Rebel Hearts. This is the Cara Diaguardi co-write, longtime collaborator with Hilary Duff. So great to have Cara on here.
I think they did as best they could to unite the two different albums and different projects just to kind of tell a very authentic story of what Hilary's into and her sound and her style. Because to go completely one way and do like Swedish dance pop completely maybe wouldn't have felt as believable. But if you get this kind of hybrid of something in between, that feels like Hilary Duff, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, 100%. I remember the excitement when this album dropped, and especially of the way we were teased into the album with the first two singles to then the album we got. It just made you appreciate and your mind blown with every track you played, and it was absolutely fantastic. To the Hilary Duff stand-up, it was like, we are so back. But this tease tour never happened. And then, you know, not long after the album was out, Hilary Duff decided to end sort of promotion and any more singles from it. She was a very busy working actress and working mum at that time, so you can completely understand. And I think she's an artist that she'll get the urge and the itch and she'll really want to do music, but then if she's not like feeling it, she's not going to phone it in.
This was a fun, nice way to leave things off so far for us. Obviously, I'd love to have more bangers from Hilary.
And she has teased that she's back working on new music. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was actually Matthew, when he did a US Mother's Day post, he ended it on alluding that she's back in the studio to save pop music.
King, yes. Tease the fandom.
I absolutely can't wait. The album was listed at number 25 on Spin's year-end list of the best 25 pop albums of 2015. Not everybody has that, Devo, at all. Now, even though you weren't there, I want to thank Australia for their service, because this peaked at number 4 in Australia.
That is the highest charting position for this album in any territory.
Yeah.
Oh, Australia. Okay.
Number 5 in Canada. Number 5 in the US.
Yes.
Top 5 smash hit album. When people try and say, oh, this album flopped, I'm saying, I don't consider top 5 in America a flop album.
Top 5 on the Billboard 200.
That is
really, really solid. So especially given that it's been 8 years since her last album, what a great way to come back.
And also, you know, yeah, the visuals, the music video. So there was all that push and the interviews. Only a couple of days of TV promo. She didn't go full out on the promo trail. And that is a top 5 smash album. 77 in Ireland, 78 in Italy, 190 in Japan, 29 in New Zealand, 19 in Spain, and 91 here in the UK. With no promo.
Not even one digital spy interview? Nothing?
I mean, maybe. The UK wasn't a priority market for it.
No HMV signing.
No, unfortunately not. Hillary, it's not too late to do the Breathe In, Breathe Out tour whenever you fancy it. Well, Devo, I'm just going to continue spinning this. It's an album that I'm so thankful and happy to have on vinyl. I've loved stepping into the future with you, but let's maybe strap in and get back to the 2000s soon. Everyone, you have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB. You can follow him at
@LoveLimmy.
You can email our hearts at rightbackpod@gmail.com. Until next time, bye.
Bye.